Glory, glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Somebody come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Glorify him. It is he that has made us. Come on, somebody, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Come on and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Oh, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Somebody say, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Jesus. Be exalted, O God. Lord, we bless you this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. I say he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to his name. Hallelujah. God, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, he's a worthy Savior. He's a mighty King. The everlasting Savior he is. God, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. Let us just go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are looking for another level in everything that is God. We don't want to just be ankle deep and feel comfortable being at ankle deep. We don't even want to remain at knee deep or waist high. God, but may your spirit take us out. Launch us out in the name of Jesus. We are looking for a shaking up. We are looking for some radical shifting in our mindset. Radical shifting in our service to you, O God. Radical shifting in our understanding, O God. That we may not, O God, be simplistic in our understanding. But the depths of the knowledge of the truth of God may bubble up out of us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we want you to birth in us a desperation for you that is greater than the demands of this present evil world. We thank you, Father. We bless you. Oh, we worship you. We magnify you, Father. And God, we look to you, oh God. Even, oh God, as young children would look to a parent, a father, for that we may be fed, oh God. Look to you, oh God, even as the apostle, as David mentioned in Psalm 42, Lord God, as the deer panted for the water brooks. So my soul longeth after thee, O God. Lord, may we have a longing in our soul, Lord God, for you, O God. May we long for the living God. Father, we thank you this morning. God, we praise you. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord God. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord comes to take over. He comes to take over. The Lord doesn't come to just ride alongside us. He comes to take over. He's in charge. God is in charge. Somebody say, God is in charge. And we need to acknowledge him as such. He's in charge. He's in charge. When he came, when Lazarus was dead, he said, show me where you have laid him. Hallelujah. He's in charge. He comes to take over. And every time we assemble, we must remember that we assemble for one purpose mainly, that God would take charge. Because he's in charge. And so, you know, I want to find out from somebody this morning, when did the oil stop flowing in your life? When did you, where did you stop it from flowing? Thank you for the introduction, Pastor Henry. It is my great pleasure to come alongside the Apostolic Church in America. I get great pleasure in doing what I'm doing. And I appreciate the fact that you reached out to me and said, you know, come alongside. And so it is, we take great pleasure, my wife and I, in being able to serve. And so I thank you for that. I thank you, Apostolic Church. We love you. Amen. Every one of you, we love you and we thank God for you. We pray for you.
Amen.
And we believe we have a certainty that one day when Jesus calls us all,
one day,
all of us will be celebrating in glory. That not one person will be left behind in the name of Jesus. But I want to challenge us this morning. I feel the stirring of God to let us know that he comes to take over. And he's in charge.
Yes.
And that there's another level for us to get to. I don't know if I'll be able to finish my message this morning. But but whatever I get to be able to complete, it's good with God. Because he's in charge.
Yeah.
And when he shifts us, we must be ready to move. We must be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when he makes a shift, we shift with him.
Amen.
So we must have this our antennas must be so well tuned to heaven. Like he mentioned to me one time, that if there's a whisper in heaven, I'm hard to hear it. Why? Because his spirit is in me and his spirit is there. And it's not me that's hearing it, but it is the spirit that's hearing.
Yeah.
So that spirit in me hears a whisper in heaven. And because the spirit in me hears a whisper in heaven, I hear it too. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So I want to challenge us, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Be sensitive to his shifts and his movements.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the Lord comes as we're worshiping, he says, the Lord comes to take over. I bless the workers. I bless those who are serving even now in the capacities where they're serving this morning. The praise leader and Sister Janine and scripture reader, Sister Christine and Brother Barker and Sister Barbara came in. I hear Pastor Henry called her the person who fits in everything. And so for a moment she had to fit in and take on the praise and worship. And so I bless each and every one of you. Pastor Henry and Sister Henry, Pastor Fiani, Sister Fiani, I bless you all. And I thank God again for the fellowship that we have.
Hallelujah.
Somebody praise his name.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This morning we're looking at the scripture in Joshua. We only read Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. But really I want to look at the entire chapter 1. Because what it outlines here is God's call to Joshua. And God's call to Joshua has been a source of great encouragement to believers and unbelievers too, for many centuries. And my prayer today is that this Lord make it, the scripture, to speak to us today. I pray that it is amplified in our hearts that we may be strong and of good courage. So the scripture tells us in verse 1 that the Lord spake. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister,
So the Lord spake to Joshua specific, and I'm going to come back to this thing specific at some point later on. But he spoke to Joshua specific. Then in verse 2 he says, my servant Moses is dead. My servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise. Will you all just open your mouth and say arise?
Arise.
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 You're decreeing something to your own spirit. Arise.
Arise.
Arise. Arise. Arise.
So, arise. Moses, my servant, is dead. This was a pivotal moment, but also it's a sad time. Moses is dead. And they mourned 30 days. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 34 in verse 8, it says, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. That's how pretty much Deuteronomy is ending. And we start in Joshua. Moses is dead. So it was a pivotal moment, but a sad moment too for the nation of Israel. Joshua was called now to play a strategic role at this crucial time in the nation's history, because Israel was grieving Moses' death. When you're grieving, you can be very vulnerable. And you need, when you're grieving, the word of God as a lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. So this was a crucial time in their experience as a nation. Yes. It was a time of bewilderment and confusion for some. Now, the funny thing is, you know what? This was much like what the disciples of Jesus experienced centuries later when he gave his life on the cross. Hallelujah. Because all of a sudden, the stable leader among them had left. God's plan for Israel was not that there should be bewilderment and confusion. And so he appointed Joshua to lead. Jesus likewise does not want his children to be in bewilderment and confusion. So he said, I am going, but I'm sending you another comforter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says, I'm sending you another comforter. Listen to him.
Yes, sir.
And every believer has this comforter in them.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
So he says, I'm sending, just like God didn't want Israel to remain in the state where they were. Jesus did not want us to be in the state where we were, and so he says, I'm sending a comforter. Listen to him.
Yes.
Now, the first instruction that was given to Joshua, in verse 2, it says, now therefore, arise. It really means get ready for action. Be stirred up. Prepare for action. You know, arise here is like the signal of the trumpet to get ready to battle. Arise. The trumpet is sounding. There is something that's urgent. Get ready for battle. So the first instruction is arise. Stop wallowing in pity. Stop wallowing in discouragement. And I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Arise.
Arise.
Arise. I'm speaking it to your spirit. Arise.
Arise.
Stop being in despondency and despair. Discouragement can come to all of us. None of us is exempt. Discouragement can come to all of us. David said in Psalm 42, he says, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Sometimes we got to speak to our soul. Same way. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Then he asked himself this, another question. He says, and why art thou disquieted in me? And he spoke the solution. He says, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And so I'm saying to somebody this morning, hope thou in God. Arise. Hope in God, arise and praise him yet again. Glory to his name. Arise, he says. The command to arise does not necessarily have to do with your physical disposition. You know, such as like you're sitting down or you're laying down. But you can also be in what we call like a spiritual malaise, a funk. Feeling saddened and broken and discouraged and overwhelmed and defeated and hopeless. But I say arise. Now the word of God is critical for our progress here upon earth. And it is extremely important to listen carefully to instructions. Partial obedience will not cut it. That's not obedience. There's nothing like partial obedience. You either have done it or you have not done it. And so, you know what, too? Oftentimes, we fail to do the simple thing that God commands. And this is because we are looking for something earth-shattering. You remember Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army? The Bible says he was a leper. In 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want to show you how sometimes we get some simple instructions, but we fail to follow through with it. And so if the servant girl from Israel was captured, she mentioned to her mistress, Naaman's wife, she said, listen, there's a prophet in Israel. He can cleanse your husband of leprosy. I'm not quoting right now. But he went to, he got a letter from the king of Syria to take to Israel, and he went. And I want to read a few verses in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8 to verse 13. And listen to this. In verse 8 it says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Syria had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me, referring to Naaman. Let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go, follow the instructions, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Listen to this now, verse 11. It says, but Naaman was wroth, he was angry, and went away and said, remember I talk about the simple thing, but you're looking for an earth-shattering thing? He says, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now remember what the instructions are. Remember I said simple, and God sometimes gives us simple instructions, but we fail to carry them through because we're looking for something profound. So he went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? If he had said do this great thing, you would have done it. But it's a simple thing. So why not do it, right? So eventually he followed, and of course we all know the story. He followed the instructions finally, and he was cleansed. And out of his own mouth, he did say this. Now I know that there's a prophet in Israel. Just like the servant girl had told him. Now I know that there's a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody has been wavering between two opinions. One day you commit to trusting God to see you through, and the next day you go back to doubting him. This morning the Lord is saying to you, arise. Get up out of your double-mindedness. So this morning I decree over your life that the voice of the enemy shall no longer triumph over you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. May indecisiveness be broken off you in the name of Jesus. I call you today to hear the word of the Lord and hasten to obey. Every spirit that opposes the word of God to you today, you have been rendered inoperative in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise up. Arise. Arise. Shake yourself up. Arise, I say. Arise. In the name of Jesus. My title is, the title for our message this morning is Arise, Obey, and Let God. Three simple instructions: arise, obey, and let God. Isaiah says in chapter 6, he says, arise, shine. For the light, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Hallelujah. So I say, arise. When we look at these verses, detailed instructions are contained in these scriptures. And God is a God of details. So when I look at verses 2 to verse 4. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, arise. Instruction. Go over this Jordan. Instruction. Thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the river, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. God is reiterating to Joshua, to them, what Moses already told them. young these people go. It was 48 years earlier that Joshua had explored this good and fruitful land as one of 12 spies.
Yes. Yes.
This same Joshua, 38 years prior, had gone into this same land that they were ready to get over now. And he went as one of the 12 spies. And of course, you know the story. 10 of them came back with an evil report. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, listen, this is easy. God is well able. They came back with a good report. Somebody said, good report.
Good report.
Good report.
So it's 38 years. Sometimes it takes a long time for the promise to be fulfilled. But remember what Peter says. He says, God is not slack concerning his promises. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God is not slack concerning his promises. Whatever promise he has made to you, he says his hands can fulfill it. What he has spoken, he's able to fulfill it with his own hands. And so he told Habakkuk this. He says, the Lord... Habakkuk says, the Lord answered me. And he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it.
Yes.
This is what he says to him, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Sometimes what you see at the beginning, and people in ministry will understand this too. What God revealed to you at the start, when you're getting started, it's not like it comes the next day. It's a vision. And he says it's for an appointed time, but he says at the end it shall speak and not lie. God's promises cannot lie. And he says, though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So we know then that it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord.
Lord, yes. Bless the Lord.
And so again in verse 3 he says, arise. It's saying a new season is about to begin. I guarantee you that when Joshua went to bed the night before, that he had no clue what was about to take place. Now, he knew he was now in charge, because earlier in Deuteronomy, God had now anointed him through Moses as his successor. But he had not a clue how the new season would start. Every new season and every journey must start with a revelation from God. Don't you ever run ahead of God. It takes a revelation for the next to go into the next season. As a matter of fact, in Galatians, Paul explained to them that when he got saved, he says the gospel that he got, it wasn't by man, from man, but it was by revelation from Jesus himself.
Yes, sir.
Revelation is extremely important. Discernment and revelation are critical in a journey. Because we have discovered, and we will, may I reiterate again, the just shall live by faith. So discernment and revelation is very critical in your journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was talking with a friend of mine on Thursday. She stopped by the office and I just started to talk about discernment and revelation. That is important and going forward. And she just stopped me for a moment and she went on talking about and just explaining a testimony of her experience. Because every believer must have an encounter with God. She said, you know, she and her husband had gone in a time of fasting because they were looking to get to another level in God. And what they were seeking of God, they know that they needed to get a word from God. They were crying out to God. And she said, her, it's two areas. One of them is this, that there's something, there's someone that she needed to make it right with. And she said, you know what, man, I struggled with that. I know it was the voice of God, but I still was apprehensive. I still was struggling. And I tried to put it off. I tried to make excuses and all of that. And finally, when his voice sounded again to her, she said, she got to do it. She took up the phone and she called the person. And the person didn't answer the phone. And she thought, yes, yes, yes. But then the voice of God says, text the person. And she goes, oh my. So she texts the person, because what she was about to confront was an issue of generational curse. And so even then the enemy was strong, trying to get her to not take the steps that she may break it. And so she texts the person, you know, can you call me anything? And the person say yes and so forth. And she called. And she went in, forgive me. Repentance took place. And then she also had gotten a word from God. She was working in the school system. And it was the Lord said for her to leave. And she began to question all of it, because she says, I'm working six figures. I was not. It's not easy to walk away from that. She wanted to see how she's going to make it. If when she leave this, how she and her husband are going to make it. Oh, this is going to happen. What, you know, what will happen? But she said when she finally got it in her spirit. Somebody say, arise.
Arise.
When she finally got it in her spirit, she went into the system. She went called. She wrote the letter. She called the superintendent and she said, I would like to meet with you next time. And she said, yes, come in next week, and gave her a time. So she went in and she said, you know, sat down and told him, listen, she's getting, she wants to resign and so forth. She leaving the job. And he said, listen, you don't have to resign. I can put you, give you, send you on furlough for a while and so forth. And you just kind of work things out. You know, the enemy always give you another option. When God says, do something, he presents another option. And so, what's the option the enemy given? So she said, to talk about of it just a little bit, and she said no. She said, no, I need to resign. And she did. Right now, they're flourishing so much. And she said, if I had not listened to the voice of God, if I had not gotten that revelation, I would still be dealing with some issues that represent generational curses. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, Joshua, so you need, every season that you're about to go into, it takes revelation from God. And you need some alone time with God, with his word, in worship, in seeking him to receive revelation. Start putting yourself in the place to receive revelation. For her, it was a time of fasting and crying out and petitioning God. And God heard her cry, inclined his ears unto her, and gave her a word, a revelation. Now, Joshua had made preparation by spending time in the presence of God. All of Joshua's life was time spent with God. The scripture talks about how Joshua had, you know, all the works of the Lord. All the work that the Lord had done. He talks about how Joshua went with Moses when they're going up to Mount Sinai. Joshua was the one who accompanied him. And Joshua was the one who notified him that, listen, there's a sound coming from the camp. And it's not a good sound. Joshua was the one who went, Aaron and Herb lift up Moses' hands. Joshua was the one who the Bible says was fighting against the enemy.
Yes.
Joshua was the one who when they went into the tabernacle to pray and to meet God, and when Moses came out and everybody, Joshua was there alone. So the point I'm making is that he made preparation. He spent time in the presence of God. But now was his time for promotion. Promotion is predicated on preparation. Somebody say hallelujah. Promotion is predicated on preparation.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory. God was now ready to fulfill his promise made to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and given to Moses, and now God is giving it to Joshua. God was now ready to fulfill his promise. 38 years after Joshua first saw this promised land. And so in verse 9, he raised a question to Joshua. Have I not commanded thee? This question was one of assurance, and yet still one of, you know, I want you to think about this. Think about who it is that is commanding you. Think about my word. And I view the commandment of God, I think the commandment of God is predicated on these words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from my mouth. That's the strength of every commandment. That is predicated upon this word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the revelation of God, the word of God. The old Bible teaches us about the word of God, and to succeed on earth, I'm telling you, it requires heavenly instructions. In the Lord's Prayer it says, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we could not have asked for a better example of how to utilize the word of God in fighting battles than that which Jesus demonstrated for us. When the enemy tempted him, he said to Satan, it is written.
Yes, sir.
Would you tell your situation that right now? It is written.
Yes.
Glory to God. It is written. It is the word that the commandment of God it is that will destroy the yokes, set the captives free, cause blind eyes to be opened by believing the word of God. That's what makes the difference. Now every kingdom and every nation have a language which is peculiar to it. That's why the instruction in verse 8 preceded verse 9. And the instruction in verse 8 that I'm referring to is meditate therein day and night. Why is this important? You can't obey what you are ignorant of.
My God.
And every believer is called to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The word of instruction is there when God gave it in the Torah, he explained to them, listen, meditate on this word, teach it to your children, teach to your sons and your sons' sons. When you walk with them, tell them about it. When you sit with them around the table, tell them about it. When you go to bed, tell them about it. So that's every kingdom has a language which is peculiar to it. The word of God is what is peculiar to us. Israel was the only nation that had the word and the law of God. And that separated them from all other nations. That made them different and peculiar.
Yes.
We have been called to a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation.
Yes, sir.
What makes us different is the word of God, the commandment of God. That's the difference. What sustains us? The word of God. What gives us the victory? The word of God. Often when God gives a commandment to, he also accompanies it with a promise. in verse 5 to Joshua is, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then in verse 9, his promises, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God's presence makes all the difference. When God commands us to do something, there's never a question in his mind as to whether or not we are able or capable of doing it. Why? Because he's the one who will enable us to do it. He doesn't say go up this mountain and doesn't give us the ability and the capacity to understand it and also to perform it. Three times he told to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And be strong doesn't, this is not in reference to physical strength. But rather it is to not entertain doubt or waver concerning my word to you. That's what being strong is. Now, for Israel, Joshua was a military leader. Joshua was a strong, stable, spiritual influence on the life of Israel. But look at God, Joshua's response in verse 10. His response was immediate. I'm talking to you this morning. I'm telling you to arise, obey, and let God. Joshua's response was immediate. He obeyed God. Verse 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, giving them the instruction, same instruction that God gave him. He gave the instruction to them. So he obeyed God. Somebody might be pondering to themselves, you know, what's the last instruction that I've gotten from God? And I want to go back to say, sometimes we're looking for the earth-shattering instruction, and there's a simple instruction that needs to be obeyed. And when it comes to the commandment of God, you have a general instruction, meaning it's for everybody. This one was specifically for Joshua at the time. So you have general instruction for everybody, a specific instruction, and this specific instruction is usually for a specific person, group, or nation. And the application is not for everybody. Not all of us can arise and go to Israel and say, and instruct the host, pass through the host and command the people. Because that's not what was given to us. So that's a specific instruction. But there's general instruction which all of us need to obey. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. That's an instruction. Commandment. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. That's a commandment for all of us. And so he says to Joshua, be strong enough for good courage. Courage means is to take God at his word, to obey him. And Joshua did. For the sake of time, we need to get going, but what marvels me about Joshua, what I like about Joshua, is that in his farewell address to Israel, Joshua urged the people to live in submission to the scriptures, and he explained how God fulfilled his promise, which is in Joshua chapter 23. So I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 23. And listen to the words of this elder statesman, this brilliant military leader, this strong, stable influence. And I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 23, verse 1 to 11. This is his farewell speech to the nation. Verse 1, Joshua chapter 23. It says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. That's what God had promised. That Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Verse 3 says, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you you by lot, these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised unto you. Here is his further instruction. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But in verse 8 he says, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. He says, for the Lord God has driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he has promised. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. This is an elder statesman who have been through war. And at the time when he was ready to depart, this was his instruction to the nation. My statement to you is this. The most important thing that you and I can leave for the next generation is the assurance to them that this God that we serve has done and will do everything he promised. And that if you obey his voice and carry out his instructions, there shall not one man be able to stand before you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the most important thing that we can leave for the next generation.
Amen.
And so why do we have such confidence in this God, you ask? Listen to what Jude says. Because sometimes we take some of what God says for granted. But listen to what Jude says. He says, no unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So that's why God can, we can speak with such assurance about God, because he's able to keep us from falling. Not only that, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, and he does it with exceeding joy.
Hallelujah.
And then he describes this God. He says, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Somebody might be here this morning, and my word to you is today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Arise, obey, and let God, in the name of Jesus. And somebody might not have accepted Jesus Christ, but today is your day to arise, obey, and let God. Let God fix it for you, because he's able. He's in charge. He has come to take over.
Yeah.
Let God fix your issues, wherever they are. On the job, at home, let God fix it for you. He's in charge. Hallelujah. So if you have not surrendered your life to God, is there one among us who would say, you know what, I really don't know that God. I don't know that God. Today is your day. And for the ones who are struggling, and this is a summon and a call for all of us to come to a higher level in God. This is a summon for us to get to another level. We're asking God for some radical shifting. We're asking God to put a desperation in us that is greater than the demands of this evil world that we're in. We're asking God to take charge, to take over in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you for these who have come. I thank you, O God, for those who have heard and have responded to say yes to you. I thank you that your word shall not return to you void in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for breakthrough and testimonies that the God that we serve is able. I thank you that someone will be able to grasp and understand the magnitude of this moment, and that we need to leave with the next generation the assurance that everything that you have promised, you have fulfilled it, and that if they are to follow you, no man shall be able to stand before them. I thank you, O God Almighty, for the breakthrough. I thank you, O God, for tearing down, Lord God, the works of darkness. I thank you, O God, for destroying the works of principalities and power in the name of Jesus, to break generational curses, to destroy yokes, and to set captives free. God, we praise you and we exalt you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.